And I've just titled the message today, Reaching for the Prize. Reaching for the Prize. So this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. And he says in verse 12, he says to them, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, we've had such a great week this week. I didn't know who I would be here, so I wore my Noblesville shirt, and I wanted to remind everybody about that day in May where we came and the Lord woke up a lot of things in a lot of people. It's interesting when you are confronted with trauma, how that prioritizes your life, isn't it, right? Even in our own district, it's interesting to see that from this one event where one child tried to take the lives of other children and teacher, that now we are seeing a shift in our priorities as a school system. And what the Lord does a lot of times in our lives is when trauma comes into our life, it can come a lot of different ways, can't it? Like Charlotte has experienced trauma this week. Sometimes it causes us to reprioritize what's important. So today, what I wanted to focus on a little bit in this passage is I want you to see what that finish line looks like. What is the most important thing? Rick kind of already spoiled the whole message this morning. To know him and to make him known. That's perfect, Rick. That's exactly our purpose, isn't it, right? And today we see in this passage in Philippians 3 those same truths. To know him, which is what we're going to kind of focus on today, and then to make him known. So I want to challenge you a little bit this morning with this idea. Are you eagerly pressing forward to take hold of that or to apprehend that which Christ Jesus took hold of you? Are you willing to become anything and everything he wants you to be? I like the King James word here. It is apprehended. What do you think of when you think of apprehended? We can be interactive a little this morning since we're this way. What comes to mind? The police get a bad guy. Apprehended, right. Anything else? I think of me grabbing my kids. I don't know why that comes to my mind, but like apprehend them, like, oh, I'm going to snatch them, right? This week, I don't even remember which kid it was, but one of them was running around the hallway, and they thought they were getting away from somebody, and I came up behind them, and I apprehended them in a fun way, just having a good time, right? Okay? The idea that you are captured, you are taken hold of, that's the idea that's in this passage today. Paul says that he knows that Jesus apprehended him, and he wants to apprehend for the reason that he was taken hold of. I hope I can express this just a little bit. Let's look first this thing this morning. I want you to see this idea that I haven't arrived just yet. I don't think any of you here today would say you've arrived, right? You're some pretty good people. But I don't think that any of us here would say, well, I've got it all figured out. My relationship with the Lord is perfect. I'm where I need to be. It's all great. Okay? Now, what's amazing to me is who actually says this. Look again in verse 12. The NIV this time, Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this, or I have already been made perfect, but I press on to apprehend or to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus apprehended or took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, I forget what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You find it interesting here that Paul says he hasn't arrived yet. By this time, he's already written many of the letters in the New Testament, in your Bible. That's pretty awesome, right? By this time, he's already been beaten a few times. And I think by this time, he'd already been left for dead one time. If you look in the earlier chapter, we'll see this in just a minute, he can tell you a pretty amazing resume of everything he's done. Everything, think about his history, everything he has accomplished. Here's what I want to challenge you with today. I know you guys are the core. We've been working together all week. But Paul was actively pursuing God's purpose in his life. He wasn't sitting back and waiting to be hit by a bright light again. Right? Think about that today. God was, when he called out Paul, Paul was persecuting Christians. And to get Paul's attention, he had to hit him with a bright light to wake him up. And I think sometimes we think, well, I'll just go through my normal routine. I'll go do my work. I'll go make my dinners. I'll go to the dentist and the post office and the grocery store, watch a little TV, go to bed, and do it all again every day. And if God ever needs me, then he can shake me and wake me up. But what you see here from Paul is that that had happened to him. He had been shaken and woken up. But he got to a place in his life where he said, no, I want to know him, verse 10, right, of chapter 3. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I am chasing after what Jesus saw in me. That's my challenge to you guys this morning. I feel that we're all trying to work to that together. Just encourage you today to keep going down that path. He was pressing forward. And again, what was he pressing for? And this is the whole key, this idea this morning. Jesus took hold of Paul for a reason, right? You ever think about that? I think about Paul's personality even before he was saved, right? What are some of his traits? Help me out here this morning. I'll kind of keep it interactive a little bit. What were some of Paul's traits even before he was a Christian? Do you know? You can look at the beginning of chapter 3 if you need some help. Was he an Israelite? Yeah, he was an Israelite. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee, right? I have a feeling that Paul was very detail-oriented, very type A personality, very get things done before he ever came to Christ, right? And some of the things that might help us know that is even what was he doing before he came to Christ? He was what? He was pursuing to put Christians in prison and to kill some of them, right? And so he was very active, but he was also incredibly intelligent, wasn't he? We find out that he studied under the teacher of a rabbi named Gamaliel, who was one of the leading teachers of the day. That's who Paul learned from. And so Paul begins, if you look there in chapter 3 earlier, he begins to list out his heritage, right? He is circumcised the eighth day. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. Studied at the feet of Gamaliel. And as far as zeal, what's he say? I persecuted the church. Now think about that as we think about the people in our lives even today. Some of those kids this week, do you think they have zeal? Right? They have loads of it, right? Some of those kids, do you think they're smart and intelligent? Yeah, most of those kids have some great aptitude for amazing things, don't they? But we all know that God can use a person if they submit to them, but if they don't submit to them, they may choose to do things that are not going to be pleasing to God. And so what we see here today is that what we want to do is take hold of that for which Jesus apprehended us. We want to help people in our lives to do the same thing. If you guys ever get a chance to meet my Uncle Tom Malone, he was kind of a rebel without a cause when he was in high school type thing. And so his dad was a preacher, and he decided he was going to kind of do his own thing. Well, he ended up being a Bible college president. And again, how God takes and uses those things, right, those traits that sometimes are strong leadership traits, and they kind of go wayward for a while, then God pulls them back in. And Paul, what he desires is he wants to be everything that Jesus wanted him to be. So I want to challenge you with this question this morning. This is the main question for the day. Do you know why Jesus took hold of you? If I handed out a piece of paper today and I said, I want you to write down why you think that you're on planet Earth. For me, it would be like, well, why did God allow me to be born to kind of middle class or lower middle class parents in a union town and a smelly manufacturing city? Why was I born an English speaker? Why was I born into really a Free Will Baptist church? Why did God put me where he put me, and why am I going through these types of things? And the answer I have for you today is that God has a purpose for you. So much so, Jesus died to take hold of that, what he saw in you, okay? How does the Lord want to shape you? How will he use your life? And so the challenge is if you begin to know that. So as I was coming along in age, probably about, I don't know, 14, 15, I would go to youth camp about this time every summer, maybe a little bit earlier, like in June, and then later on in August. And as I would go to youth camp, I would have this really close time with God, and I would get under strong conviction. You guys ever been there? It's kind of hard sometimes to get close time with God nowadays because it just hits us everywhere, but camp's a great place for that. because it kind of shuts everything else out. To be honest with you, as tired as we are today, VBS is a little bit of a good place for that too, isn't it? Because you can get hit with this message and you can hear and you can see God at work, where other times it may not be as easy. And so as I would go to camp, and I had no cell phones and no media for 5 days, but we would have a prayer time in the morning, we would have classes in the morning, we would have a chapel in the morning, then we'd go play like crazy, and we'd come back at night and we'd have service. God would really speak to my heart. So early on, like I was in fourth grade, I told the Lord, I remember very clearly that I said I would surrender everything to Him. And I had an uncle who was a musician, and he worked in a church. And I was like, Lord, if that's what you want me to be, I'll be that. My grandpa was a preacher. I was like, Lord, if you want me to be a preacher, I'll be that. And when I was about 15 years old, I was at youth camp, and the Lord pressed on me that it was time for me to start preaching. And so I went home and told my grandpa Malone that what had happened at camp, and it was time for me to start preaching. And I was thinking it'd probably about 8 months to a year before I would preach. And he had me preaching like the next Sunday or the Sunday after that. He was putting me right in because he knew that's what needed to happen, right? You had made this decision. You had this desire. And he put me in. I remember that day, like I prepared and prepared for that time because I was not a public speaker by any means. And I worked and worked. And I thought I would have like an hour or 2 hours of content. And my sermon went 5 minutes. But it was all from my heart. And that was the beginning of God working in me. And I knew from that point on, that was one of the things why Jesus apprehended me. Not that I'm necessarily good at it, but that's what He got me for. He grabbed hold of me for me to tell people and to teach people about the Scriptures, about the gospel. Why did Jesus apprehend you? I want you to hear this today, because that's kind of a spiritual example, but maybe Jesus apprehended you to work on cars. Maybe He apprehended you to mow lawns. Maybe He apprehended you to help people that were homeless, right? Maybe He apprehended you to help children. Any of those things and all those things. And I'm challenging you this morning to think about that. Are you chasing after what Jesus saw in you and why He died for you, why He redeemed you? That's the first question. So the second question is this. Are you pressing hold? Are you pressing forward to take hold of that? Or are you sitting on the couch or in the pew waiting for God to do something to you? Well, if God needs me, He'll let me know. That's not what Paul was doing. He was chasing after the Lord. Today, you guys are incredibly special, and God has something for each of us. And I thought it was so good, again, we learn a lot in Sunday school every week. Todd reminded us today as we thought about this that we need to value ourselves the way the Lord values us. We need to see ourselves as the Lord values us. For a lot of us, that's our sin, right? We look through the Lord's eyes and we think about everything that's wrong with us, but what we also need to see is the treasure that we are. As we saw in our lesson today in Romans 8, God did not spare His own Son for us, but gave Him freely for us all. Does that make you worth something? Absolutely, right? And so again, in this passage, we see that how valuable that we are to Jesus. Paul says, I haven't attained it yet. I haven't grabbed hold of the whole thing yet. Nobody has. So we've got to do a couple things. What's the first thing? We got to forget what's behind. What's behind you today? A week of VBS. Whew. Mrs. Penn's like, oh, I can breathe again. What's behind you are two things, your failures and your successes, right? And both of those things can cause you problems, can't they? Have you ever really got and burdened by your past failures? The devil loves to use that, by the way. Those guys in the jail, that's who he hits the hardest with that. You're no good. You're a joke. Remember you the last seven times you tried this? You're a failure. And he hammers them and hammers them with their past failures. Maybe you're sitting here today and you know your past failures, and so you're kind of scared to try to chase after what Jesus apprehended you for because you know you've fallen down before. You need to have a short memory of your failures. I don't know if you guys have seen basketball players that are shooters. You know what they tell a shooter in basketball to do when he's going through a hard time? Keep shooting. You're not hitting? Keep shooting. They have a short memory of their failure, and they're going to keep shooting because they know eventually they're going to click and they're going to get back on track. We need to do the same thing as we're pressing forward. We need to forget those failures that the devil tries to tell us. You can't do this. You messed up before. It's not going to work. Right? So some of us have that issue. Some of us need to forget our successes. What's that mean? Well, back in the, 20 years ago, you should have seen what I did for God. It was amazing. I would go out and do visitation. I gave lots of money. I was leading people to Jesus. Man, I was a great person. It was great. Well, I don't like to quote Janet Jackson too much in my sermons, but what have you done for me lately? Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Your preacher has a hard time with this sometimes because I had a little window there where I could be full-time in my ministry, and my focus and my devotion was completely to one thing, and I really enjoyed that. It was just a few years, but man, I love that. And then the Lord, he put me back in a place where I need to work, so I'm out reaching people at work, but also I can work at church. And it's easy for me to say, well, back in those times, I did a lot for God. That was good. You know, I'm doing a little bit now, but I can, but see, I can rest on my successes, and I need to forget those successes and move forward. Everybody tracking with that? All right. So today, as you think about this, we want to press forward. That means we forget what is behind. Don't be discouraged because of your failures, and don't rest on your successes. If you look again earlier in the chapter, you can see where Paul counted all those things he had done as loss. All the stuff he had done, the amazing things he had done, he said, I count them all for loss. Because I want to know Jesus, I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. Today, what is the besetting failure of your life that keeps dragging you back in? Anybody got one of those? All right, it's time to heal. It's time to move forward. Maybe you need to grieve some losses to do that. What is the success, today, that's causing you to take it easy? It's time to move forward. Do you really think that God is done with you? I think this is what gets hard, especially as we get a little older. We knew what we were supposed to do, and we could do that in that fashion, but God may not be done with us. He's just going to use us in a different way. Can I get kind of close to home today, right? A little bit here, okay? I see this in a lot of different types of occupations, right? I'm not picking on Michael specifically, but on soldiers. You know, soldiers have a time where they have this strength and they're this ability, and they do this for so long, and they find great fulfillment in it. And Michael could tell of many people that when they come back, they have to shift into a whole new role, and they don't do what they did before. That can be hard, right? You guys will see that in the athletes too, won't you, right? These guys that were great quarterbacks or running backs or basketball superstars, and then after a certain age, especially in the NFL, they fall off hard, don't they? Peyton Manning, like one year he's the MVP, and like the next year they're like, we're going to have to get a backup quarterback because he's not going to make it at all anymore because his ability fell so fast. And so then he has to reinvent his purpose, right? Well, the Lord does that a lot in our lives, too. As we're a little younger and we have a little more energy, we can go to work in the morning. We can come out in the evening, and we can do these things, right? But as we get older, there may be sometimes like, preacher, I love you, but I can't go to work 8 to 10 hours and then come work 4 hours with all these little kids. And the Lord may shift our purpose, but that doesn't mean that we don't stop pursuing him, okay? Look for what God has for you to do for him now. If you are here today, God is not done with you. Please hear the Lord speaking to you today, okay? If you are here today, God is not done with you, and he has purpose for you. Real quick, Galatians chapter 6, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good. That's a hard word today, isn't it? For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Keep sowing. You guys, that's what we're doing today. I was so excited to see Riley even up there. We're sowing seeds in her heart. Isn't that amazing to think about? And who knows how God may use Riley to reach her mom or to reach her grandma to draw them closer to him. I don't know. Keep sowing the seeds. Let God do the watering. Let God do the growing. He'll do it. But we keep sowing the seeds. Okay? Don't quit. Don't get weary in well-doing. Again, we want to become everything that God calls to be. Back to Philippians chapter 3. I just want you to see this verse today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. This is where we need to go. That's what Rick said to us this morning. I want to know Christ. I want to know him. To know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship or the participation in his sufferings. Becoming like him in his death. Verse 11, and so somehow attaining to what? the resurrection of the dead. Right? And again, Brother Todd, in our scripture this morning, the psalmist said, we are a sheep to be slaughtered. Right? They were trying to serve the Lord, but these invading nations were coming in, and they were taking over God's people. And they were crying out. But what we saw Paul say in Romans, again, chapter 8, was, this is not it. He says, the love of Christ, even death, will not separate you from the love you have in Christ Jesus. Death is not it. If you think this life is it, you're missing the picture of the Scripture. It's a bigger picture than that. Paul says, I want to know him so I can attain to this life everlasting. What would your world be like if the thing you worked hardest for was to know Christ? That's challenging, isn't it? I'm trying to think what I work for. I work for a really good frisbee forehand. I work for that probably more often than I should. I work at manipulating thousands of iPads. I'm getting pretty good at it. When you do it 8,000 times a year, it's not too bad, right? What do you work hardest at? Paul says, I want to know him. You guys, I challenge you today. It'll be contagious, by the way. When you come in here to worship the Lord, and your worship is about knowing him, the people sitting next to you be like, what is into that person? They really want to know the Lord. When you come in on a Wednesday night, and you come ready to soak in and to listen and to pray and to study and to share, I want to know him. It gets contagious. And if people come in here and we're chasing after the Lord, they'll be like, I want to know him. If they have any inclination of God's Spirit in them, when that comes together, that's what happens. Let's encourage each other in that. Finally, let's live up to what we know. Verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And I just want to, again, challenge you. I think sometimes we get really stuck on things that we don't need to get stuck on. How many of you are premillennial today? How many of you know what premillennial even is? How many of you are amillennial or postmillennial? What's your eschatological view of Revelation chapter 12? Do you believe in substitutionary atonement? Right? Sometimes we get wrapped up in so many of these things, and I threw out the big word for our last series. How many of you understand hamartiology, right? We can get tied up in big words and all kinds of crazy details. And what we really need to do is two things. Like Rick said, what Jesus would say is we need to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And what's the second? Love your neighbor, right? That's what we know. I'll never forget when we came down, it was Isaiah and I came down on a Wednesday, and we were being interviewed or whatever. Pastor John was here, and Rick and Vicky were here, and Donna and Todd were here, and Diane was here, and we were talking about Bible translations. And I threw out there, well, you know, translation can be important, but really what's really important is that you live it. And I remember Brother John's head kind of like nodding like, well, there's some truth there. Don't get me wrong. There is important. Translation is the Word of God. It's very important. But it's more important that you live out the Scriptures than you get hooked up or hanged up on some difference in a slight difference in translation, right? Do you live it? Do you live it? And so Paul says, live up to what you already attained. I think it's so neat coming from Paul that he would say that. He says, quit making excuses. You guys ever hear of Deion Sanders? Remember him? He was actually someone kind of like Bo Jackson. He played baseball and football at the same time. As a matter of fact, I think he's the only athlete to have hit a major league home run and scored a touchdown in the same week. That's pretty crazy, isn't it, right? He grew up on the streets of Fort Myers, Florida, where exposure to some would-be athletes spurred him to make a success of himself. And he explains this. He goes, I call them Idas. If I'd have done this, I'd be making $3 million today. If I had to practice a little harder, I'd be a superstar. Those are the Idas in his life. They were as fast as me when they were kids, but instead of working for their dreams, they chose drugs and they chose a life of street corners. When I was young, I had practice. My friends who didn't went straight to the streets and never left. That moment after school is the moment we need to grab. We don't need to grab any more Idas. Right? You can make excuses today, right? Well, if I was still strong, I'd do this. Well, if I was full-time, I'd do this. I still had this many resources, I'd do this. We can make excuses all over the place. What we need to do is apprehend that for which Jesus apprehended us. So let's look forward. Verse 20, the scripture says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body." You guys have heard the phrase people say, their mind is so set on heaven, it's no earthly good. Right? I don't know if I know a single person like that. Usually our minds are so set on earth, they're no heavenly good, right? Set your mind on things that are above. Remind yourself that our citizenship is in heaven, that the Lord Jesus is coming, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is not weak. Everything is under his control, even when we have a hard time understanding it. He has the power to transform this weak and tired and dying body so that it will be glorious, remade for eternity. No better day to say that on a Sunday after VBS, right? This weak and dying and tired body, the Lord is going to raise that up, and he's going to make it all new for those who know him, who know his resurrection. So we should eagerly await a return from the Savior, and when he returns, he will change these weak, wretched bodies into glorious, glorified bodies like unto his own. All right, so let's summarize, and we'll have prayer here today. You haven't arrived yet. You may think you're doing pretty good, and some of you are doing really good from my limited perspective, but we're not there yet, so we got to press on, right? There's some things you need to forget today. Some of you, there really are. I'm trying to be as honest and clear as I can. There's some things you need to forget. The devil keeps hitting you with it and keeps telling you about it. You need to offer it to the Lord, and you say, "Lord, you need to take this. You know I've surrendered it. You know I repent, and you need to take it over, Lord. You need to forget that." Some of you, there's some successes maybe you need to forget too. Yeah, that was good, and what you did was amazing, and when it was 20 years ago, it was fabulous. But guess what? It's 20 years later, and the Lord still has purpose for you. You need to take hold. You need to pursue. You need to grab and press forward. Today, you need to do what you know. You guys know to love people. You know to share the gospel. You know to witness. You know to pray. Don't get too wrapped up in the things you don't know. Do what you know. That's what Paul said. Follow some good examples. Be a good example. And finally, what's he say? We eagerly await a Savior from heaven. That's where our citizenship is, and that's what we're looking forward to. And one day, this old, weak body is going to be transformed into a glorious, eternal body. So we need to think about living for eternity, all right? Most of us here want to live a life with no regrets, don't we? The best way to do that is to take hold of that for which the Lord took hold of you. Today, my final challenge is find out what God's plan is for you. It starts with faith, and then it grows from there. And the question I have today is, do you know why Jesus took hold of you? If you do, make sure you're doing that. If you don't, be in prayer and chase after him until you do know, all right? Let's stand this morning. Now, I am going to go play just a little bit here today, and I want us to take a little time to pray. I want us to pray especially for our little kids that were on our stage today, okay? You can pray for all of our VBS kids, but especially those that were up there. You know many of them. You know them personally and well. Pray that God will take those seeds that were planted there and grow them up. And then today, I want you to take a little time for yourself. If you don't know why the Lord took hold of you, would you be really open and honest? Again, that was our lesson today, too. Be open and honest before the Lord. Jesus, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know why I'm in this place or why I'm with these people. I don't know what you have for me. Would you reveal yourself to me that I can know why you've apprehended me? Pray that prayer today. And boy, today, if you know why the Lord took hold of you, then you need to pray, "Lord, help me to do why you took hold of me. Help me to do what you have for me. Don't let my apathy or my past successes or my past failures get in the way of me doing what you would have me do." All right, let's take a little time this morning. Let's pray together and think about